Thank you. Again, we continue our studies in the ministry of the Spirit of God, and we're dealing especially with the gifts of the Spirit. We've been taking some of these up, and we're now dealing with this question of tongues. And again, may I refresh your memory by saying there were certain sign gifts given both by our Lord and by the apostles. These are the credentials both of Christ and the apostles. In the Gospels, the miracles of our Lord in the Gospels are the credentials as to who He is and what He is. Likewise, in the early chapters of the book of Acts, the apostles were confirmed in their ministry by miracles, by signs. When you come to the end of their ministries, you don't find it. Now, we are dealing with the baptism of the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. There are those who believe that at the initial evidence of being baptized by the Spirit into the body of Christ is by tongues. And as I said then, I repeat it, if this was so, to be logical, then only those who speak in tongues are in the body of Christ, which I don't believe is true. I think the baptism of the Spirit is an act of God putting us into the body of Christ. And we walk by the Word of God, not by sight. And as I said, and I repeat it, in no place in the New Testament are we exhorted to seek or to wait for the baptism of the Holy Spirit after Pentecost. Pentecost was completed. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And then they received the Spirit. And we were reading from Isaiah chapter 28, where God said, "You're in such a bad condition," talking of Israel, "even though I speak in the languages of other people, you won't listen to me." In fact, I would say that after the day of Pentecost, you find no one tarrying to receive the Spirit, nor do you find any exhortation to tarry to receive the Spirit. Not only so, you're never even told to pray to be filled with the Spirit, and you're even told to pray to receive the baptism of the Spirit. You have no exhortation, nor no illustration of it after Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was fully come. You remember the feast of Pentecost back there in Leviticus? And this is where it's portrayed, just as the resurrection of Christ was the fulfillment of the Feast of First Fruits, which will never be repeated. Likewise, the Feast of Pentecost was completed, the giving of the Spirit of God. And when Peter said in answer to their question, he said, "This is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel." And you remember in Joel chapter 2 where it is prophesied that God would pour out His Spirit upon all flesh. Your young men would dream dreams and your old men would see visions and so on. And that great, before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm quoting Joel chapter 2. No mention of tongues or gifts or anything there. Question of the reception of the Spirit of God, which will be completed and fulfilled, by the way, when the Lord returns, when the nation of Israel, everyone in the nation of Israel who will be on the earth at that time, after God has purged out the rebels out of Israel, everyone in Israel will be saved, will have the Spirit of God, and will become God's messengers to the nations of the earth. This is yet future. But for the present, may I suggest this. Let's look at these passages. And the key is Isaiah 28, "I will speak to this people." Now on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached to who? To Israel. They spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost, and the ones to whom they spoke were Jews who had come from different parts of the Roman Empire, and they heard in their own dialect the wonderful works of God. That's why they were amazed, this phenomena, that these were Galilean fishermen. They were not people of the schools, and yet they were all speaking in languages understood by the people who were there. And this was the sign. These were the credentials, if you please, of the early church. What's the next mention of tongues? Is in chapter 10. Now remember, tongues were to be given a sign to Israel. Isaiah 28. chapter 2 of Acts, just Jews were there. The next mention of tongues in chapter 10. Chapter 10, the Apostle Peter went down to the house of Cornelius. This is something he didn't want to do. And the Lord had to give Peter a vision that what God had cleansed not to call common or unclean. He went down to the house of a Gentile and ate with them. In chapter 11 of Acts, you remember how they put Peter on the carpet because he had eaten with Gentiles. But you think about it. For him to go into the house of a Gentile was something a Jew wouldn't do. And to eat their meat, which is not kosher, as something they would not do. That's why Peter said to the Lord, I've never yet eaten anything common or unclean. And the Lord says, what God hath cleansed not to call common or unclean. And he spoke to the Gentiles, the house of Cornelius, words whereby he and his household should be saved. And while Peter is giving the gospel message of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, while he's still speaking, the Spirit of God fell upon the whole household of Cornelius, and they began to speak with tongues. And Peter says, what doth hinder us from baptizing these who have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? Now tell me, who were there? There were 6 Jewish men who came with Peter. You find that in the book of Acts, chapter 11, chapter 10, chapter 11, where they came back and they were on the carpet, as I said a moment ago, before the church of Jerusalem, and they were told, what in the world do you mean, Peter? What do you mean by going down to the house of a Gentile and eating with him? And he took 6 men with him. That's what we have here. Moreover, these 6 brethren accompanied me, and we entered the man's house. And Cornelius was told by an angel to send a Joppa for me, who will tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house should be saved. And as I began to speak, Peter didn't even finish his message. As he began to speak, now remember, there was no waiting, there was no seeking, there was no praying for the Spirit of God. While he was talking to these Gentiles about the death and resurrection of our Savior, as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, as on us at the beginning. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. For as much then as God hath given him the like gift as he did to us, who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? Peter and the 6 men with him did not believe that the gospel and the reception of the Holy Spirit was for Gentiles. So what did God do? He spoke to them in other languages. I'm personally persuaded in my own mind that they spoke real languages. The possibility is that these Romans spoke possibly Aramaic, I don't know. But whatever they did, it caused these Jews to sit up and take notice that these Gentiles were praising and glorifying God. How did they know that if they didn't understand the words of which they were speaking? God spoke to these 6 men and Peter to inform them that the gospel of Jesus Christ and the reception of the Spirit of God was for the Gentiles. And Peter and the other men would never have believed it if they hadn't heard him speak with tongues. It was a sign to these unbelieving men who came with Peter. The gospel is for the Gentiles. You say, were they unbelieving? Well, they were Christians more than likely. But they didn't believe that the gospel is for Gentiles. That's what I'm getting at. Now, the next mention made is in Acts chapter 19. Now, in Acts chapter 19, we have the Apostle Paul going down to Ephesus. And when he got down there, he found certain men. He went down into the synagogue, which was what he generally did. And when he went down there, he found certain disciples. And he said to them, unbelieving, did you not receive the Holy Spirit? We've never even heard of such a thing. Well, what were you baptized unto? Unto John's baptism. Now, these are Jews who had heard they should repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This was the message of John. They hadn't even heard about the Holy Spirit. And Paul, baptized them in the name of the Lord Jesus, laid his hands upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Now, that doesn't mean that they were the only ones there. Synagogue had more than 12 men, although it took 12 men to start a synagogue in a Gentile city. Otherwise, they went down by the riverside to pray, like you have in Acts chapter 16. When Paul went down to Philippi, there was no synagogue there. He went down by the riverside where these real godly women met for prayer. But down to Ephesus, there was a strong assembly there, a synagogue. He went down there and went into the synagogue, as was his custom. There he found 12 men who were apparently different to the other Jews who were there. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Spirit of God on believing?" We never even heard about the Holy Spirit. We were told to believe on somebody who was coming. Then Paul preached to them, explained to them how that the Lord Jesus had come, how he had been crucified, buried, been raised again from the dead, and that this Jesus is the Christ. I'm sure he used the same method he did it down there at Thessalonica. He opened the Word of God and proved and alleged from the Scriptures that Christ must first suffer and then be raised from the dead, and that this Jesus, which we preach unto you, is the Christ. So he laid hands on them after they were baptized in water. They were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. He laid his hands upon them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were 12. And here I believe two things. First of all, here we have the Spirit of God upon Jews of the diaspora, the Jews of the dispersion. In Acts chapter 2, all Jews. In Acts chapter 10, Gentiles. Now in Acts chapter 19, the Jews of the diaspora. Also, I believe that here you have the Apostle Paul manifesting the credentials, God acknowledging Paul's position as an apostle just as much as Peter. For you remember that the Apostle Paul was quite a bit abused by the Jews. They followed him from city to city. They said, "Who is Paul?" Even the Jewish Christians wouldn't recognize Paul as being one of the 12 or as being an apostle. You remember the book of Galatians was written concerning this, where Paul defends his apostleship. But having laid hands upon them, and these Jewish people down there at Ephesus receiving the Spirit of God and speaking with tongues and prophesying, it was not only that these were baptized into the body of Christ, but I believe the phenomena there was because of Paul, recognition of Paul as an apostle of Jesus Christ. And now tongues is never again mentioned in Acts until you come to the book of Corinthians. Now let me go back. There are four cases in the book of Acts where they received the Spirit of God for the first time. You've got Israel in chapter 2. You have the Samaritans in chapter 8. You have the Gentiles in chapter 10. You have the Jews of the diaspora in chapter 19. Every phase, shall I say, or division of men is in these four, and it's not again mentioned. Now let me ask you a question. Go back to chapter 8. Philip had gone down to Samaria and had preached the gospel, and many believed, and Peter and Philip was used by God in performing miracles and healing the sick. But as yet the Spirit of God had not come upon them. Now remember, the Samaritans and Jews have no dealings one with the other. And when they heard at Jerusalem of the great move of the Spirit of God in saving people in Samaria, they sent Peter and John down there that they might receive the Holy Spirit. You get the background here. Tell me something. When Peter laid hands on these Samaritan believers and they received the Spirit of God, why didn't they speak in tongues? They did in Acts 2. They did in Acts 10. They did in Acts 19. There were no unbelieving Jews present. Isaiah 28 says, "With stammering lips will I speak to this people, Israel. Yet for all that they will not hear me. Wherefore tongues is for a sign." To who? These unbelieving Jews who had made a league with a covenant with death and with hell, they were in agreement, made lies their refuge, and so on. So in Acts 2, They spake with tongues in real languages to Israel. In chapter 8, there's no need for that. Samaritans are part Jews and part Gentiles. But they must recognize the authority of the apostles from Jerusalem. They recognize their position. In chapter 10, Peter went down and opened the door to the Gentiles. He had authority from God. The result was they spake with tongues because there were Jews there who did not believe that the Spirit of God was for the Gentiles. In fact, I am persuaded if they had not spoken in tongues in Acts chapter 10, the Jews would not have believed that the gospel was for Gentiles. Chapter 19, you have the Jews of the diaspora. So you have the four groups, Israel in 2, Samaritans in 8, Gentiles in 10, and the Jews of the diaspora in chapter 19. Again, I say, these are the credentials of Paul as the apostle of Jesus Christ, in view of the fact that he was despised by the Jewish people. And this gave to him authority as an apostle. Now, when we come to Corinthians chapter 12. Suppose I go to chapter 14, seeing that I've discussed this question of Isaiah 28. Look at verse 19, 18 and 19 and 20 and 21, 22, 23 of 1 Corinthians 12. I thank my God, says Paul, I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I had rather speak five words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, howbeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men. Now notice, in the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Now mark, this is a re-quotation from Isaiah 28. The first mention of tongues, the last mention of tongues. And he's emphasizing the fact, in the law it is written, with languages, tongues, and other lips of other people will I speak to this people, and yet they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. I'm emphasizing the fact that tongues were a sign to the unbelieving Jew of the presence of God. Now go down to verse 23. But when the whole church comes together, Jews and Gentiles, especially Gentiles in Corinth, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say, you're mad? Is this a contradiction? No. In verse 21 and 22, tongues is a sign to the unbelieving Jew of the presence of God. In verse 23, tongues is a sign to the unbelieving Gentile of madness. This is what it says here in the Bible. I'm just going by what the Bible says. And by the way, may I say this? I have been in meetings where they have spoken in tongues and men have gone out saying, these people are crazy. I'm not saying they didn't love the Lord, these people speaking in tongues. I'm speaking of the reaction of the unbeliever outside in the world. Paul says, wherefore tongues is a sign not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. Now that's coupled with Isaiah 28. But when he said, when the whole church has come together, and you begin to speak in tongues, and there come in the unlearned or the unbeliever, will they not say you're mad? Why is it in one verse it's a sign to the unbeliever of the presence of God, and in the other verse, the very next verse, it's a sign of madness to the unbeliever? Contradiction? No. In one, you have, carrying right from Isaiah right on through, you've got unbelieving Jews. When it comes to the Gentile, you speak in tongues in your meeting and they're coming unbelievers, will they not say you're mad? But today, I'm sorry to say that tongues is made a sign to the believer of the baptism of the Spirit, which I question is in the Bible. There's only one Pentecost on the day of Pentecost, never to be repeated. And in this book, we find where tongues is a sign to the unbelieving Jew of the presence of God. Now, as far as I can go today, I'm going to continue this. I want to take up in our next lesson on the gift of tongues, these gifts in Corinthians, on the question of healing and so on. I want to take it from the Word of God. Let us examine the Word of God and see what saith the Scriptures. Stick to the Word of God, and the Lord bless you today.